Blog Talk Radio.
Go crazy. Hold up. Wait. Stop. Stop. Go crazy. Hold up. Hold up. Wait. Stop. Now go crazy. Hell back.
Hell back.
Not no more.
Not no more.
Came back.
Came back.
Settle scores.
Settle score.
Me be you.
Me be you.
1-on-1.
1-on-1.
Ain't no stopping.
Ain't no stopping.
What's begun?
What's begun?
Foundation. Hard work. Determination. Demonstrated. Brick laid. Long nights. Overstayed. Never played. Insane. Don't justify. I just wanna make a song cry. Let it speak. Loud and clear. No pain. No fear. Ambitious. Ambition. Cooked in the lab. My words missing. Vocal tracks on overload. Just how I seen it unfold. Not twisted. Not tangled. I'll leave your tooth mangled. Unrecognizable. Bird box. No blindfold. Bust back. Doom, doom, doom. Solid, not see-through. You have no idea of what I just might do. Capsize your boat. Burn down your hotel. Give all I got. Send you to hell. Hold up.
Hold up.
Hold up. Wait. Stop.
Stop.
Now go crazy. Hold up.
Hold up.
Wait. Stop.
Stop.
Now go crazy. Hold up.
Hold up.
Wait.
Stop.
Stop.
Now
go crazy. Hold up. Hold up.
The Real Spill Show is brought to you by the pop-up shop at Arden Mall, Chandler & Company, J-Spot Kitchen, Rags Rolling Papers, Nikki's Dollar Jewelry & More, Sky Cloud Dispensaries, It's My Hair Hair Salon, Fade 'Em Up Barbershop. To be a sponsor on our show, email us at olhent@gmail.com. Thank you. Hey, yo, what's good? It's your guy, B.I.G. O'Meezy. Big O'Meezy, the great communicator. Sick with it, Lieutenant. Sick with it, Deputy. The whole thing, man. And you listening to The Real Spill Show. And did you know we available right now to subscribe on Apple Podcasts? Man, do yourself a favor, man. Do us a favor. Go ahead and subscribe. Appreciate it.
It's The Real Spill Show. I'm your host, B.I.G. O'Meezy, Big O'Meezy, the great communicator, on another edition of Talk Back Tuesday. Oh, man, it's a wonderful day outside. No rain. It's sunny. It's beautiful, man. The playoffs is the playoff edition, and we're about to talk about it today, man. I don't know if you just watched the Atlanta Hawks versus the Boston Celtics, man. Let me tell you something. That boy Trae Young is a mother effing problem, man. Just when they thought that they had the game wrapped up at 3-1, and they was about to send the Atlanta Hawks home, man. The man, Trae Young, said, not on my watch, man. He hit one from let's just say, Curry Land to win the game. And, Birdo, I don't know if you got a chance to turn on your TV, man, but, man, he ain't playing. 119 to 117, Atlanta Hawks. 3-2, forcing another game to go back to Atlanta on that ass, man. They ain't playing.
Man, well, you called it well, man. That, I guess they call him Ice Trae for a reason. I went and checked the highlights
Ice
on my
Trae.
Phone. And Curry Land, from Curry Land for real, a couple steps in front of the half-court line, it seemed, and said, good night. You know, not only was Celtics going to win the game, they was, like you said, they was going to wrap up the series and wait for the next team and get some rest, but guess not.
Straight up. On the line, we got Birdo, the sports guy, the sports guru. We also got my homie GB, the OG on here. You know what I'm talking about. We just kicking it today, man. The number is 563-999-3678. If y'all want to call in, you want to talk NBA, whatever you want to talk about, it's Talk Back Tuesday. 563-999-3678. And this is show number 13. We got to give ourselves a round of applause.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Got to get
appreciate all the support.
You know what? Man, especially after last week's show, man. Shout out to all my folks from Humboldt, man. That was huge, man. What an incredible response from everybody, man. Shout out to Emerald Triangle, you know, Triple OG Legends, man. That came on here and you know, really just got to talk. It just really just kicked off 420, man. Man, from Thursday, I think from that show on Tuesday, the video shoot I had with Big Grip Thursday at Sack by Nights and Sack, you know what I'm saying? And then Fresno on Friday at the Fresno Smokeout, 40, Paul Wall, Tech N9ne, Baby Bash, and, you know, and more. And then Saturday, out at the Forum with Bone Thugs for it, like, you want to talk about a crazy ass weekend, man. It was, man, that whole week was bananas, y'all. I just want to really let y'all know that I'm still recovering. That's why we don't have no guests on today. I'm still recovering and getting my bearings, man. But we're going to have fun today. We're going to talk some basketball. The Clippers game just started. We're going to talk about the Kings and all that type of shit. So we're going to get into it. But first, I want to play my new single, Good to You. I didn't play it last week. I play everybody's shit, but I'm going to play my own shit. It's the Real Spill Show. We'll be right back.
Oh, boy.
My daddy made this beat.
I'm the best man. Follow when your gram got me spinning like a center fan. Body so amazing. No, there ain't no Photoshop. Pull up in the drop to the spot, cause I got a lot. Way too grown. I don't wanna beat around the bush. Sounds so amazing. Had to take a second look. B.I.G. on easy. Voice Bonnie and Clyde shit. AJ took it back, so I got on my Teddy Rice spit. We above par, above all, it's out of here. Somewhere in the cosmos, the atmosphere. So show me that it's real. We can pick a spot and just chill. Let me give you something you can feel. Pet you, tease you, sexual heal.
You know what that means. You know what that means. Yeah, hey, I don't know if y'all watched the fight, but Gervonta Davis put them paws on that boy Ryan Garcia, man. Did y'all get a chance to watch the fight?
I didn't get a chance to watch it, Big O.
And,
But I know they was in Vegas though, right? They was in Vegas.
Man, you missed an excellent fight. Javante Davis, man, the man is heavy-handed. I know they said that because of all the clauses that he had, the weight clauses that Javante had on Garcia, I don't think even with all those clauses, Javante Davis is still heavy-handed. Knocked the man out in the sixth, seventh round, hit him with a body blow after he knocked him down with an overhand right, bloodied his nose, shit like that. It wasn't like a real pounding. He didn't really have to put down a real demonstration on the youngster because mm-hmm. the first round was pretty much they was just throwing at the air, you know, with each other, just trying to figure each other out. And then once I seen Javante, he saw what Ryan Garcia had to offer. He was swinging, you know, Ryan was swinging at the air. He moving and all, and then he caught him with a left, dropped him on the canvas, right. Then Garcia gets up, you know, he shakes that off, and I feel like Javante Davis, he already knew, he had that smile on his face, and the man kept throwing these, and he's a YouTube sensation, a social media sensation as far as Ryan Garcia is, and everybody said that in the different press conferences, you know what I mean, and sometimes GB, your promoter. Like his promoter is Pretty Boy, I mean not Pretty Boy, but it's De La Hoya is his promoter, and he was talking about how they don't care about their fighters and this, that, and the third, and Garcia is gonna be the new face of boxing and shit like that. You know, he's a clean cut Hispanic kid, young, but he went up in there with a Baltimore Titan. You know what I'm saying? And he hit that man with the people's left hook to the body. He took a knee, and it was over. He couldn't. He couldn't continue. It wasn't happening.
It was a wrap. It was over. Yep.
Yeah. It was a wrap. And I never seen nobody get hit with a body blow, and then go to your knee, and then instantly a blood started to trickle down from his nose, from his nostril.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Hey, Big O, that's that heavy hand.
That's that heavy hand. Earlier, y'all heard Good to You. Yeah. That's my new single featuring Voices out right now, all streaming platforms, produced by AJ. A lot of people have been hitting me up saying they love the song. Can't wait for the video. We'll probably be shooting that sometime in May, so y'all stay tuned for that. Berto, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Berto, you didn't say nothing when I had said something about the fight. You was quiet.
No, I was letting GB, you know, make sure he was getting his point in, man. You know, we got to give GB the opportunity to talk when he's ready. So.
You know, GB, he be in his lab making beats all day. You know, for y'all don't know, GB is he also is a producer. You know, he produced tracks for me like Wake Up and also Been Drinking. You know what I mean? If y'all heard them, I'm high, plus I've been drinking. You know, he
been drinking.
But
seriously, look, I think that no doubt Tank heavy-handed. To me, Tank was the one that was going to take the fight. But I just don't agree with the necessity of the hydration clauses. Like, if you don't need or feel that he might get you, why even put him in there?
Well, he was heavier. He heavier than Tank. You know what I mean? So when you have a catch weight, you know what I mean? That means, you can't I don't know, to be honest with you, you know, but at the end of the day.
No, you can. The thing is you just got to weigh in below, and then after that you can gain as much weight, you know what I mean, whatever. And that's what he did. No, he put the clause where they couldn't gain more than, I think it was like 10 pounds or something. But either way,
he could have gained 15 more pounds, and it still wouldn't have helped that rib shot or that body blow that he took. I think it was a liver shot that he took.
Hey, that was just like Bernard Hopkins. That was Bernard Hopkins and De La Hoya right there.
clearly. Like, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it was supposed to be closer. I thought he was going to get – by the time I watched the second round, you know, the first round, they was just figuring out each other and dancing and shit like that. The second round, it was, you know, it picked up a little bit. But I feel like Ryan Garcia, if you watch it, if you go back and watch the fight, he broke his discipline. He was throwing and trying, you know, he was throwing jabs and he was boxing. And a lot, what happens is fight, and that's even when, if you watch Mayweather fights, he don't listen to the crowd. The crowd could be booing and all that shit. He gonna do his own thing. He gonna jab. He gonna see what you got. He gonna counterpunch and shit like that. Garcia was probably supposed to do that. Then all of a sudden he started hearing the boo birds because the first round was trash. So he wanted to entertain people. So he started throwing more blows, and that's how Javante caught him with that left and put him on his back. You know what I mean?
Man,
and then they said that. Huh?
Go ahead, Omizi. Go ahead.
No, I want to say that. Then they said that there was a. I see the homie Joe Millionaires on here. I'm gonna put him on too, just in case he watched the fight. And then what I want to say is that once he broke his discipline and started swinging at the air and shit, Devontae had heard. I think he had. There was like a somebody in his camp that told him about that rib or that shot, and he put it right where he was supposed to go, and put that boy on his knee. And understand me? And it wasn't no coming back from that.
I saw that about the mole in his camp, the Asian dude that had hurt Garcia while they were sparring. You know, but to me, once what messed it up for Garcia was once he got knocked down in the second round and he tasted Gervonta's power, he wanted no more parts of that, bro. So he was
trying to.
It was over after that.
He said no mas. No, he said no mas, no mas.
Yeah, exactly, no mas.
and they tried to, you know, he said no mas, and then they tried to say that they was, you know how the new thing is to put your purse up against my purse. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like if you win, I give you my purse. If I win, you give me up. And then to my knowledge, they didn't want no parts of that after they had lost. You know what I'm saying?
The night before the fight, Garcia's camp hit him up and said, "Please don't do it. We're okay."
Oh wow! And then to add insult to injury, when I saw this, I think on TMZ, that when Garcia had his press conference after that, De La Hoya and Hopkins was nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
After they did all that talking.
They didn't talk on why Hopkins wasn't there, but supposedly De La Hoya was talking about he was getting death threats, and his people told him that you know it wasn't safe and he had to go. I was like, wow.
Well, yeah, because he was talking all that shit, man. The man, hey, listen, the man got up, went up there, and you know, I'm a fan. I was a fan of the Golden Boy. You know, he was a beast back in his days. You know what I mean? I did fuck with him, but I'm just saying for this particular fight, and I know you got to say what you got to say to promote the fight, but on this particular one, he wrote a check that his if you ain't fighting, you might want to shut your ass up and let your fighter talk. You know what I mean?
Hey,
don't be doing all these long.
If I remember correctly, you got a picture with De La Hoya. That was up at the house off of the Beers. Remember?
I gotta find
you
that.
You got
one
with De La Hoya.
You know, my wife had just recently found my picture with me and Nate Dogg, and I knew it was in my garage somewhere. And she found it, and I cherished that picture because it was the only picture I ever took with Nate Dogg when we used to be out in Oakland. He used to come down to, I think, did you ever go to the studio in Oakland off of High Street before? I think it was Mike Denton studio.
Mike Denton. Yeah, that's the one where Bela and Lavitty and all them, San Quinn.
Yeah,
Big
so we used
was
to be at.
There too,
yeah.
Remember? Yep.
Yeah, man, he used to pull up, man. He used to pull up on us, man. And we was, you know, shit like that. And, you know, it was just, them was during the times of Death Row. And then when they, every time they wanted to get up out of L.A., man, they just come fuck with us. You know what I'm saying? You know, because it was hot out there in La Ligadale. So, you know, and them was our real folks, you know, Corrupt and all them. You know, Warren, all of them used to come to the Bay and just, you know, kick it with 40 in them and shit like that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I cherish that picture, man. It's real big. Another thing that I wanted to talk to you about is our Kings, man, because, you know, yeah, I heard about the we do have the number one offense in the league, but ever since they disrespected Big Bro, now we got to deal with the curse of D40. And they lost two straight after that.
The curse of
40 water. Hey, they poked the polar bear.
They poked the bear,
and now the Kings.
Right.
And I can't even. And normally, GB, I would start the show with the lighting of the beam and shit like that. But I can't even.
Yeah.
I can't.
Uh-huh.
I can't even light do the lighting
can't
of the beam. The beam
light.
Is broke.
Need
some AA batteries. Anybody out there got some AA batteries or some AAA batteries or some D batteries that I could put in the beam at Golden One, I would greatly appreciate it. You understand me? Because
they're about to come. It's about to power up tomorrow, man. Don't even worry about it. Tomorrow it's powering
you
back
think,
up. It's been charging.
You think so?
There was just a little malfunction.
Well, you know,
yeah, that's all that happened.
Well, if the homie would have hit that three pointer, man, that would have broke so many hearts, man. It would have broke. And if it was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. We'd all be, you know, but we ain't drunk. We sober. And so because he missed the shot. But and De'Aaron Fox, he got a fractured finger or fingertip or something like that.
Yeah,
but he said
exactly
99%. He's 99% sure that he will be playing in tomorrow's game.
So I was reading the article earlier on him. He says that the swelling's gone down a lot. All it was about getting comfortable with the pad on his finger, but that he feels he can have his normal shot. Well, we know they're going to shoot that fingertip up. He ain't going to feel it, bro, and be hitting them shots. So you can go to work.
Mm. Well, we'll see what we do, man. We'll see if the curse of 40 water continues.
expect a big game tomorrow for Malik Monk. We're going to have Keegan Murray, and Pewter is going to be surprising tomorrow, all right? So remember we had this conversation on who's going to ball out. Swiper going to do his thing.
Well, first of all, we need Sabonis. Yeah, we need Sabonis to get whatever he was eating before the first two games. We need to get him back on that. I don't know if his rib is some shit was really fractured or some shit, and he's still recovering.
Well,
and he can't twist and turn, huh?
He's been over there pulling the Vlade Divac damn near, just over there flopping. You know, like come on, it's a bonus,
man. But Joe Millionaire, you on?
Yes, sir. How y'all doing?
What's up
here
with
tonight?
What's good with you, man?
What's up with your Lakers, man? What's up with your Lakers? They look like they putting the brakes on them. One more to go.
Yeah, one more to go. One more to go. Let's keep it moving.
Man,
yeah, that was a big game from
Pope.
LeBron.
Yes,
that was a big game
what?
From LeBron. 20-20.
Not bad for an old man. Yeah. Hey, on another subject, I was heading home right now, and I was listening to Heather B, and she was on the subject that she encouraged us all to share with one another about a young individual by the name of Lakeith Smith. And Lakeith Smith was a young man serving 60 years in prison in Alabama prison for a murder he did not commit. Now, just to give you a little background, in February of 2015, Lakeith, who was 15 years old at the time, and a group of friends were involved in a break-in of two unoccupied homes in Millbrook, Alabama. The teens mm-hmm. were still present in one of the homes when the local police officers showed up on the scene. During that encounter, the key 16-year-old friend, Deontay Washington, was shot and killed by one of the officers. Although he was the youngest of the group, Lakeith was denied being tried as a juvenile and was charged as an adult. He was convicted of theft, burglary, and felony murder, a charge that held him legally responsible for the death of Deontay in Alabama's court of law. And if your go-to is paid, you can Google him. His name is Lakeith Smith. This young man is on 15 years of age, serving a 65-year sentence for a murder that he did not commit, meaning he went in as a 15-year-old did. You know, they broke into a few homes that weren't occupied, and the police pull up on the scene. And when the police pull up on the scene, they get the shooting. So one of the dudes that was in there gets shot, which was this young man's friend. They charged this young man, 15 years old, with the killing of his friend that the police shot. Could you imagine that?
What the?
Man,
could you imagine that? They were talking about it today, and I was heading home, and it's been on my mind. I was like, you know what? I think I want to bring it to the attention of the listeners tonight, if I possibly can. If they can go look up Lakeith Smith, his mother is he's been in jail right now for 6 years, and they, 6 years so far, 15 years old. So that means from 15 years old, he has to go in and be in a grown man's prison cell. I'm talking about an adult prison. You know, you got juvenile detention and you got adults. And they talked about the cycle of our young black men in America on the where did we stop listening at? Because, you know, he has a mother in his life, he had a father in his life. But he chose to go out that night and break into a home. And when he broke into the home, all he was looking for was some video games. Some video games that night at the age 15 cost this young man the rest of his life. So, therefore, Alabama gave him two life sentences for a murder he did not commit. He did not squeeze the trigger. He did not shoot this young man. But the police still has a job, free as can be.
Yeah.
It's full attention. It's still out right now while this young man is sitting in jail right now trying to find some type of justice on how they are playing the rules in these games in all these different states.
Wow.
Because every state, you know, they got different laws and different rules that's going on out here. And, you know, out here in California, you know, it's totally different. They had explained this on a talk show as well as then other states, which is very true. But to hear that breaking news and to pull up his name, and to see how young that little baby black boy was to have all this time right now, it just breaks my heart, man. And, you know, we got young black men that's on the line listening right now. I would want to encourage our young black men to slow down and listen to your elders, because we're in a day right now where our young men or our young people don't listen to their elders. Not understanding them elders only become the age that they are at right now by doing what? By living and having an experience that we all be trying to share with our, you know, our little nephews, our little cousins, our little homeboys out there who's out there living that life to the point to where, you know, there's a cry to try to help our young black men right now. It's a cry to try to detour them from making that choice. Because if that young man had to listen to his parents and stayed home that night instead of going out with his friend, 15 years old, having fun, being slick, we know how it is when you're 15 years old, especially being young black. And being slick has cost this young man the rest of his life, and he's been sentenced unjustly. It's unheard of to give a young man that much time for a trigger he did not squeeze.
Well, let me ask you this: is it up for appeal? Is all his appeals gone, or Hold on a second. I got my homegirl Tia Turner. Have you heard this case? What was his name again?
His name is Lakeith Smith, 15-year-old, serving 65 years in prison for a murder he did not commit.
The cops killed him. The cops killed the little boy. The cops killed his friend,
yes,
and he's serving time for it. Yeah, I know all about it. I know Always Film the Police. He's very involved with that case. It's ridiculous, you know. Yeah,
Since we on that page, we gonna go ahead and that's horrible. I hope is it some type of appeal that he got? You think he got action at an appeal to you?
So listen, that
no,
he just
went to court.
Yeah, he just had an appeal, and they only took 10 years off of the sentence. And what happened
right.
was the judge that originally sentenced him, he
was
retired.
The same judge.
Look, the judge was retired. The judge came out of retirement to resent him and only took 10 years off. Now, I ain't never heard of a judge ever coming out of retirement, man, as long as I've you know, been in the system and out the system. I've never heard about a judge retiring and then coming out of retirement just to convict someone or, you know what I mean, a just sentence. And it's just ridiculous what I heard this morning, man. That's why, you know, I was just encouraged to come bring it to the listeners. And I'm glad the young lady is familiar with the story because it's real and it's going on right now. And it's a cry for our young black man to pay attention. Open your eyes. The writing's on the wall. If you know how to read the writing's on the wall. Our choices is landing us either at death or in jail. And we only have ourselves. We only have ourselves playing. Our young men, can you imagine, getting out of middle school, that he's just barely in high school, that needs, you know, needs some mentoring or needs just somebody to talk to. We got young men out here that, and they talked about mental health. They talked about the mental health of our young black men growing up single parent. Not just young black men, even not just all just black, every race, just a single family home raising young men and how these young men are grown up right now up under them type of circumstances and making those type of choices that's putting them away for the rest of their lives.
Right, but, you know, it's a system, too, and as a people, we make, you know, everybody has the power to choose, but we also got to start fighting this system of oppression that has saw that and kept us into this hole where, you know, it's hard for those people to get out of. If you have that, when you lack the education and the knowledge to be brought out of that system, then the system continues to oppress you. It don't become your fault. It becomes the people who govern you fault because they continue to put these systems in place that are going to keep young black people down. And then the mentality that we come from, our culture and stuff that we come from plays into it, too. And that's where people say about the choices. And I used to be very feel strong about that too. But as I see the system and the way it works, it's hard to get out of it unless you have the knowledge and the strength and the power and the tools and the skills to be able to get past this system that even when you're trying to do good, it kicks you in the face. It knocks you down. You didn't do nothing wrong. And it takes you out. You know, so we got to look at that point, that part of it too, especially in the black community. We need more support on these issues that are oppressing us, the mental health issues, the incarceration, the housing, lack of housing, lack of reentry programs, and then the lack of ability. You know, it's a chain. It's a chain. Okay. It's a chain effect because what happens is they tell you, okay, well, you went to jail, and thank you, appreciate it. You went to – sorry, I'm at the hotel here because I'm still down for the down here for the for these hearings. They tell you, okay, you got locked up. Now you're out, but we're going to keep the stigma on you. We're going to keep a jacket on you. You want to get housing?
Yeah.
Well, you got to mark this box. You want to get a job? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you was a car. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You. I
yeah,
appreciate
yeah.
you.
You're an
you know?
Ex-con
yeah.
now when you come home. When you come home, you're an ex-con, a known felon.
Right.
That's who you are. Mm-hmm.
And everything you try to do, they have a box you got to check that says, oh, you want housing? You got to know you're ex-felon. You want employment? You want welfare? You want a boost? You want anything? Thank you. Appreciate it. You got to, you know, you got to check this box. So it's a cycle. So us as a people need to also start standing up to fight against the system that is keeping our young black people oppressed and in the mentality they're in and not giving them a chance.
How do you suggest we fight against the system? What is one thing we can do to fight against the system?
Knowledge is power. We have to let go of the aggression we have amongst ourselves. We have to be like the other people in this country. We have to be like the other cultures and other races in this country who help their people get up. You know what I mean? The Latino community, they fight for everything. They help. They don't need nothing from you. No Latino citizen in this in California needs anything from you. They have their own car dealerships, their own insurance, their own restaurants, their own stores to go to. They don't need nothing. Their own hospitals. They don't need nothing from you because they build their people up. Exactly. And we, and us as a people, we keep tearing each other down. So the first thing is us as a people getting together and working together, not taking egos out the way, taking ignorance out the way, and just working together and supporting each other and educating
the about checking the images that we glorify. I think we're messed up by what we're glorifying. We got the wrong image. Our kids, and adults act like grown kids, got the wrong images in their minds when they're listening at, we got to say, it's got to be rap music. The things that we hear in the rap music, I have a son. I have a son, and what he listens at, and it's like how do you control them images or those what we're idling, you know what I mean?
Here's the thing, though. You're right. We idolize those things. At the same time, those same things have taken us out of poverty, right? Because we just don't use that money correctly. We glorify it the wrong way. But those same rap lyrics have taken us around the world and make our community the most affluential community in the world. And put people in places where they could help a Negro out. They just don't want to. I mean, Kanye, Beyonce, and three people, Kanye, Jay, and Beyonce, if they took 10% of their income, okay, one of them just took 10% of their income and invested into the black community, they probably could send every black person to college. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, look at all these black folks that have money because of the rap game. So while we're glorifying it, and it is, as we do as a black people, we always figure out a way to make it better, right? We always figure out a way to get something from it. Because if you ain't going to give it to us, we're going to take it. You know, we're going to get it.
Right.
So, you know, it's twofold. It's hard. Yeah. To pull your children, that's a parental thing. Like, what can you do with cell phones?
There you go. Yes.
You know, what can you do with cell phones now? You can't stop much.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I get you. When is it to where the parents have become so cool with their kids, they're just sitting down and doing, having adult activities in their presence and passing it on to their kids, and now they're going out there in the streets. And, you know, I mean, with an immature mind, a very young system, and out there acting a fool, out there getting themselves stopped by the police, then putting us all at an uproar, like, why do the police do our kids like that? Well, listen here, your kid didn't tell you that we just chased him and went through this, and he did this, and he did that, and he's up under the influence of this, and he's up under the influence of that. I just had a friend police just killed. And our community, this went to, my condolences to the family. Our community was at an uproar. But I have a friend that I went to school with that recently the police just killed. And he was out there, and he was off sherm. He happened to, you know, he's a sherm smoker. So while he's off sherm, he's out here with a pair of scissors in his hand. So with a pair of scissors in his hand, he's going up, and he's just sticking people. And this boy got kids, got mama, got family, got everything, but he's stuck an old lady over here, then stuck a man over there in another spot. Then when the police pull up and they're asking the man to put the knife down, he's already stuck two people. He got blood on his hand. Well, they chose to open up and kill him. Who was that wrong?
Damn. That's that mental health we were talking about.
But that's also part of that system, too, because who brought the drugs to us? Who brought the crack epidemic? When did we really go down that drug road? Crack. That's when we went down that drug road. And who gave us crack? The CIA. Who did it? You know what I mean? So they have been putting us, they have been making us this position in the world for so long. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, because of what had happened, you know, they did that to us. And you're right. People need to start making conscious decisions. But when you live someplace where you see people who make conscious decisions, who just get pulled over, who wave the police down and say, hey, can you help me? I got a flat tire. And they end up dying because they're waving the police down to a flat tire because of the color of their skin. It's hard. It feels better to go and not rob and con the EDD or do a credit card scam or do something like that. It feels better to do that than to worry and bother about anybody or worry about anything or you know what I mean? Because it's like no matter what you do, even pulling asking the cops to help you, fix your tire can get you shot. Or you could make a childish juvenile mistake like go rob a house. You don't kill somebody. Somebody else kills somebody. The cops kill somebody and you in jail for it. You know what I mean? So when we live in a world where we see these things happening, it's hard. It's a lot of hope lost for our people because we don't have, you know, a lot of the positive images. And the ones that we do have, our people want to listen to entertainers and sports figures and shit like that. You know, instead of listening to activists, instead of listening to community leaders, instead of listening to the little guy, they want to listen to the big guys who got the diamonds on, you know? And, you know,
it's just hard. It is hard questions, but, you know, even as a youngster, when I was young, growing up in East Oakland, I would always see the D-boys, right? The D-boys be out there at the park shooting dice and shit like that. And they had a chains on. They had a big fat wad of money, right? But I'm a young, inquisitive, smart kid. And I see the task force roll up. You know, everybody like, rollers, the task force roll up. I see them. I see the about six, seven task force roll up. And they jump out and they grab all the D boys, you know what I'm saying? Put them in handcuffs, slam them to the ground, pick them up, run them, you know what I'm saying? And run them to the cars. And I'm like, oh no, that don't seem like that's it. You know what I mean? That's just me and my young mind thinking to myself, oh, I don't want them to do that to me. But then I see up the block, it's a brother. He owns his own truck. His own diesel truck or whatever you call it, but, you know, hauler. And he, you know what I'm saying?
The 18-wheeler.
The 18-wheeler. He paid me $20 to wash his truck. And he got Fila suit on and Fila shoes. They call him Fila man because he wear all Filas. And it's all legal money. Mm-hmm. You know, he get out there, he go bust his ass and come back, he own his house. And this is all around, you know, right around the corner from where the D-boys are. So you have to be, if you don't have a discernment, a lot of these youngsters don't have discernment because they don't even go to church. They don't got God in their life. They don't have a fear of God. They don't have nothing over them that gives them that fear. You know, all they got is a bunch of homeboys that say, hey, let's go do this because a lot of them are in single parent homes or, you know, their father would rather go out and ride motorcycles and shit like that while the mamas, go play bingo or whatever, you know, whatever the situation is. You know what I mean? It's like it's so many different scenarios in the black community, man. We just we always up against it, you know. But the road, you know, certain roses always rise from the concrete, and just in some and
That's
some
right.
just fall in some, you know, and some fall short of the glory. You know, everybody just ain't gonna make it, Brother Joe, and we know this. You know what I mean? You know, and you know that, Tia, because you know you could be the greatest, you know, the greatest kid in the world. And just make one mistake down the line and shit. You know what I'm saying? You know, when I left Utah, I was a good kid when I was growing up, but that didn't stop me from getting arrested for shoplifting. That didn't stop me from, you know what I'm saying, getting arrested for using a dangerous weapon, destruction of property, you know what I'm saying, making terrorist threats and all that shit. That didn't stop me from doing that. That was me hanging around with my homeboys, making a bad decision. And getting caught up, good kid, mad city. You know what I mean? So it can happen, and you can stay on your kids all you want, y'all. You can stay on your kids. You can have them in the best of neighborhoods and the biggest of houses and give them everything they want. man, that influence out there from their homeboys is greater than yours. You know what I mean? That music that they listening to is greater than yours. That chain, that watch they see, them chick, that cars, that TV show, that them putting them money, them phone, you know, handful of money phones to their face and shit like that. That, you know, that tree, that this, that, man, and pills, man, that shit is a heavy influence. You know what I mean? So, you know, and coming off of COVID, where we was on lockdown, we didn't have, we couldn't go to church, we couldn't do this, you couldn't do that. Everybody didn't, you know, it was feast or famine. You know what I mean? You coming off the George Floyd, and then everybody running in these stores, grabbing what the fuck they want. You know what I mean? I just seen 100 people, was it 50 people, run up in a gas station, then run up, you know, and then running up in some other stores, because they got sense enough to know if 100 of us run up in the stores, they ain't gonna catch but a couple.
Right.
And the crash test dummies. Hey Joe. Hold on. Joe, you know about them crash test dummies, man. They the ones that's just going to run up in there and be the last one to get caught. Hey, they going to be the last ones to get caught, the crash test dummies. You know what I'm saying?
The main ones going to fall, too.
But Tia, I want you to tell everybody. Hold on. First, let me play this commercial, and then we gonna, and then Tia going to tell us why she here in Sacramento and what she got going. Y'all, hold on for a second.
I'm Sam, and I've been trying to lose weight for most of my adult life. With Results Transformation Center 6-Week Challenge, I got the coaching I needed, great workouts, and super easy nutrition plan, and the right tools to make sure I keep the weight off and live a healthier lifestyle.
Results Transformation Center's proven weight loss program is even more affordable. Right now, lose 20 pounds during their 6-week challenge for only $50 a week. Lose 20 pounds, and they'll give you your money back. What do you have to lose? Visit results20.com for details.
Shut up, Results, man. Hey, you can't beat that. If you need to lose weight, $50 a month. If you lose 50 pounds, they give you your money back. See it? Can you imagine that?
Man, that's what I'm talking about.
All you got to do is lose weight.
That's motivation. All you got to lose weight. Don't pay me to lose it? Okay.
Yeah, they're going to pay you. You pay them. If your ass is lazy, we're going to keep it. If you're not lazy, we're going to give it back to you.
Man, that's a deal.
Shout out my homie Matt, the owner of Results Fitness. Tell everybody why you out here in SAC these few days.
So I've been out here lobbying down at the state capitol on a bunch of things. SB D7, which is a bill to... for rent caps and, you know, just trying to, it's a package called Housing Rights Now. And so that includes SB 567, SB 555, ADA 10, and I forget the other one. But that was a housing package to try to make housing more affordable for everybody, you know, because it's just ridiculous, the housing crisis, the homeless crisis. People want to know why, the cities and our municipalities want to know why, you know, it's such a homeless problem. Well, you know, there's no rent caps, the higher rents and you know, minimum wage doesn't match what it costs to be able to survive as a single person with a single parent with a child or even a two household income. So what I got going on tomorrow is we're out here supporting a bill called AB 1516. AB 1516 is the bill to raise the California minimum wage. It also, I mean, that's self-explanatory. I'm sure all your listeners understand that. I don't need to explain it. You know, we need to raise the minimum wage because everything else is going up. The cost of everything is going up except for our wages aren't going up. So we're making the same amount of money, but everything else is more expensive, you know. So,
are they talking about the reparations up there as well? I've been hearing something about we're supposed to get some reparations here in California, or is that just Sacramento?
That's something they are trying to bring up. I mean, that's going to be a hard pull for the amounts they're asking for and the way they're asking for it. But, you know, with the support of the people, all things can happen. That's what really has to happen. People have to come out and support things. So, you know, if anybody has time.
Okay, huh? so since Joe is on the phone and he's formerly incarcerated, what is the other part of the bill that you fight for?
Absolutely. So in the bill, we're also including incarcerated workers. We're trying to put that in there. What's in there? We're trying to make it stick. So as we know, incarcerated workers, they make up about 65,000. There's about 65,000 people who work in prison who don't get paid, for their work. And if they do get paid, they get paid anywhere from 8 cents to 10 cents. The highest paying jobs are firefighters. So what we're trying to do is make it so that those 65,000 people who are working regular jobs that you would work if you were not incarcerated, they would do things.
That's called day for day. That's called half time. You work a day, we give you a day. That's what I'll have to go through that. If I work the day, they give me a day. That's only called half time.
Well, so no. So for this, though, it's not half time. So that's something different. So in prison, the only program that gets you time like that is the firefighter program. For every day you work, you get 2 days off. That's the only program. But when you go to prison, you have to have a job. If you don't get a job, you get in trouble. You have to work.
Yeah, you get rolled up.
So,
yeah.
Exactly. So not only do you get right. So not only do you get incarcerated, taken away from your family, lose everything you have, you're subject to somebody having to support you. Now you go to prison and you're away from everybody and all that stuff. And then they tell you, oh, yeah, we're going to make you work. And if you don't work, we're going to put you in a hole and you're going to be in trouble. So
this is what our young men need to be hearing right here. Your choices. Here where your choice is going to put you in to where people are out here fighting for us right now. This is what our young – thank you, ma'am. This is what our young man need to hear.
Yes, absolutely. And so what this is this bill, AB 1516, it's a raise for minimum wage and also incarcerated workers because they already have a couple programs called the joint venture program where you get a little bit higher wage. And it's been proven that instead of people who get a higher wage or get a minimum wage when they're incarcerated, they're able to take care of their families. They're able to have something saved up so when they get out, they're able to maintain the family relationship. They're able to do things, it breaks the cycle, and also it reduces recidivism. So people who are in these programs where they're making minimum wage, people who aren't in the programs, recidivism is 55%. People who are in those programs, 9% recidivism, meaning they're not coming back because they were able to come out, do their jobs, be stable. And while they were incarcerated, if a bag of chips right here on the street is $3, a bag of that same bag of Doritos in prison is $6. So the phone calls they just now did lowered the phone calls, phone calls are free now for a certain amount of time though. It's just right now what we need to do is we need everybody out there tomorrow. If you can make it out there at 12 noon on the west side of the Capitol, Area 33, we're having a press conference. We need people to support this. We need these politicians to know that there's people out here not just sleep, not just laying down, not just going to continue to take it, but in solidarity we stand here and we're saying, look, this is what we need as people, as Californians. We live in the wealthiest state in the wealthiest country and have the biggest homeless problem, the biggest, the highest rent. People are leaving here to go other places to live. Why you gotta leave to live? You shouldn't have to leave to live. So AB 16 is something that everybody needs to support. We're trying to get it going. And AB 1516, support that. Oppose SB 43, which is treatment for people who somebody, some cop or some judge says, oh, I think that dude's crazy. We're going to force him into treatment. And support all those other bills I was saying, ADA 10, SB 555, and especially SB 567. We had a small victory with that today. It did pass to the next stage before it hits the floor. So that's we're moving along. Hopefully, everything.
I'm very interested in seeing what these what the conservatives is going to say because they're going to be like, well, how much is this going to cost? Isn't this enriching the prisoners who are supposed to be serving time And what is the want to incentivize people getting arrested, or you know people think like that, like,
yeah,
oh, I can't find a job,
let me go get locked up. Yeah.
Let me go get locked up so I can fucking go get a job and get paid minimum wage in prison. You know what I'm saying? There's some people out here,
yeah.
So you know, there's people out here that love prison.
Yeah, it's not the majority,
why.
Though. It's not, you know, I'm going to tell you, so a part of that is the stability. That's what part of that is. It ain't about loving prison. It's about being someplace where you don't have to worry about rent, food, things. You don't have to, you know what I mean?
There are some people that need to be in prison of our own culture. You know, like, there's some good, there are some bad apples in our bunch where there are some men that actually need to be incarcerated and need to go through what they have to go through for their crimes that they've committed. I committed my crime, all my crimes, and I've given them 28 calendars of my life. 28 calendars, and I've paid my debt back to society each time. Now, I didn't like it, but it taught me to keep my butt from up out of there. They didn't make it easy. There shouldn't be nothing easy about going to prison. See, now if you notice in prison, you got young men in there, they got cell phones on the yard. They got cell phones in their cell. So they're going to their cells, and, you know, they got access to so. But I got friends or people I know that's incarcerated right now that got – they got IG. They got Twitter. They got Facebook. They got all these social media platforms in their cells to where they're sitting in their cells, and they're glorifying how good they got it in prison. On how good they
yeah,
because
I seen a cat in there making a stir fry. He turned his table into a stir fryer and figured out how to hook up some electricity.
They turned it into a vacation. It's like shouldn't be a vacation. It shouldn't.
Let me tell you something. I seen one where they did the mannequin challenge. Have you seen that? Where they did the mannequin challenge. You know where everybody freezes and stuff. They did that with their cell phones in prison. They was in jail. They did a mannequin challenge. It's out of control with the phone.
Some of them, like you said, and the fact that I seen some inmates on. They had their cell phone, and then they got another inmate hogtied. And these is black on black crimes. These is black folks doing this to other black folks, hogtying young brothers.
They showing some hits in there too. They showing some real TV in there too, and it's being glorified to our children. Our children is looking at this stuff and glorifying this stuff as to the point, especially our young black men, can't wait to where they get to prison and and get their stripes to where now they go become the big homie and all this, and to where, they don't understand, like you were just talking about. When you go to jail, there's nothing easy. It's easy to go, but it's hard to come back home, because while you're in there, you can get into a situation where they take time from you. They take more time from you in jail than you actually get half the time. I'm a personal victim of that, to where, I went in figuring I'm going to do 6 years, and next thing you know, I'm pulling 7 years. Yes, and time.
Because you had to put pause on somebody.
Precious. Man, time.
Yeah,
is so
I watched this movie. I watched this movie back in the days where these parents wanted to teach their son a lesson because he was always getting in trouble. So they decided to make him stay in the county overnight, and he got into a fight and hurt somebody, and ended up having to do 5 years.
Look at that theory.
Wow.
And it's that simple.
You wanted to teach him a lesson, and he had to go in there and defend himself, and he ended up getting charged because he put paws on the dude.
Well, that's
hard lesson to learn, huh?
A big part of that, though, is us thinking that we need to – But a big part of that is we don't need the police to interject and raise our kids and scare them and do all that. I used to feel like that too. But then when I see stuff like that and hear stuff like that, I say, okay, what we need is we need more programs. We need more resources. We need more things for the community so that the people don't go to that level. We need jobs in our black community. We need education in our black community. We need all these types. We need resources and stuff like that so that, you know, you don't even go to that point. Because most of the people who are incarcerated statistically did it because of they were lacked a resource. Like they needed money for housing. It wasn't like, oh, I needed drug money. It's like I needed money to pay to give formula for my kids. I needed money to pay for my car payment so I could make it to work. I needed money to pay for a tire because both my tires.
And they wind up
you know,
in prison.
So,
they needed money for, and they wound up in prison. That was their excuse why they wound up in prison.
It's not an excuse. What it is that when people are backed against the wall, you have a child and you want to support that child and you've tried everything you could, you might go to a grave action in order to do that. You shouldn't have to. If we were living in a world where we didn't have to fight for housing, food, medical care, all these things, if these things weren't such out of reach for us, we wouldn't be committing these crimes and doing these things so much to go to prison. That's the bottom line.
Where's self-accountability? Where's just the self-accountability?
There's self-accountability. It's absolutely self-accountability. But what about Brian Banks? What about Brian Banks who went to jail for some girl saying that he raped her when he didn't rape her, and then he spent 5 years in prison before he got out, and then she admitted that she lied. He was in prison.
Oh, that was
he
a basketball player?
He was a football player. He was like the number one
football player
top prospect in the country. You know,
yeah.
But when that white boy finger banged that girl and raped her behind the trash can from Harvard
yeah.
or something, what did they do to him? They told him, oh, no, we're not going to put him in jail because he has a bright future. Okay. So they're
right.
Right
they
now,
basically said
the
the society wouldn't be benefited by incarcerating this person.
But what about Brian Banks? He lost his whole future and everything because of a lie. So not everybody that's incarcerated, we're dealing with an immoral system. There's hundreds and hundreds of people every year, okay, every couple of years that are being released because they are being accused who've been in jail for 10, 20, 50, 60 years for crimes they didn't commit. Okay,
the 28 calendars I've given the system, I've never met an inmate that was innocent.
Primarily your 28 calendars was with violent offenders most of your time.
Yeah,
yes or no?
Men make bad choices that land them in jail. That is the fact.
Oh.
Regardless, I understand there are hard circumstances.
Yeah, I was waiting for
Cal
too. We never got any.
Yeah, I know.
There's also self-accountability
the
choices that they're making out here in life.
I'm sorry,
well,
y'all, hold on.
You just – no, you're good. Now, well, Tia knows – she know that firsthand. I talked to you off air, about choices and shit like that. But it's just, you know, we up against it. We know we up against it. And, you know, our generation – it's like I was telling somebody else not too long ago. It's like our generation we had our bad apples. We was bad apples. The 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, 2000s, every generation had they bad apples and shit like that. You know what I mean? And like I said, mentorship.
And every race
Joe, that you want to know what's the solution. I think mentorship. You know what I mean? Because if I didn't have positive influences that I could look towards, you know what I mean, as opposed to a bunch of homies and shit like that, And I was an individual my whole life. I made my own decisions. It wasn't nobody saying, hey, you should do this, and I did that. I did it because I wanted to do it. And if I didn't want to do it, I'd just say I didn't want to do it. You know what I mean? And my cousins and all our folks in our – we was – you know, a lot of us – I mean, not me. I wasn't good at stealing, but a lot of them was professional stealers. Like, you can go in – they go in Safeway and get big-ass bags of chocolate candies and Fat Laces and, you know, whatever they wanted to do. They'd go up in there and steal all the shit, Twixes and Snicker bars and shit. And when I go up in that thing and I get me some Fat Laces, because that's really the only thing I had the courage to grab, shit, I got caught. But I got caught because I was in somebody's backyard. Just dumb shit. Like, I wasn't like 40 said, 40 came up with crappy criminals. Some people are just crappy criminals. You know what I mean? You know, instead of having, in our real life, instead of having 2-3 years of being able to flea flick, they get caught and they first lick. I said, man, you know, get a couple petty thefts up under your belt. Don't go straight to grand larceny. You know, don't go straight to bank robbery and shit. Motherfuckers go in a bank and steal and get fed time 10, 15 years, 5, 10 years, and ain't ever even shoplifted. Ain't ever even stole the ball out of backyard or nothing. Like, you know what I mean? They going for the gusto. Like, we
why?
Never seen, unless it was the riot, like the Watts riots and shit like that, I never seen a whole bunch of people just run up in the store and just start grabbing shit, and only 5% of the crap of the kids had masks on. Like, are y'all dumb? Are you dumb?
Well, the kid
you
growing up in Richmond,
cameras?
They used to do that.
Shit! But did they put a towel on their face, a mask of some sort? Like, they ping your. First of all, everybody in there got their phone. They ping your phone. They know exactly. They ping. They did that during when they had the riots downtown. People was running all in there. They caught probably about 75% of the people who was stealing by pinging their cell phones. You know what I'm saying? Technology is the way it is. You thinking you getting away with it. They timestamp the camera footage that they see, and then they ping your phone at the exact same time and come get your dumb ass. You know? But people think they so smart. They think they smarter than the average bear. You know what I mean? They think they like you say, Joe, they don't have no fear of going to prison.
No, they don't. That's where all the homies.
I seen three people get sentenced to life, and all of them had a smirk on their mouth. What are you? What is the smirk on your? You about to do life after the judge, the white judge, gave them a whole soliloquy about how they won't ever in I think it was Florida. And they said, oh, the ones who killed Tekashi, not Tekashi, the one Tentacion, whatever his name is. The ones that killed him, they got sentenced to life. And the judge made it to tell him that there's no, like, if you get sentenced to life in Florida, it's life. It ain't no 80%. It ain't no, you appeal and none of that shit. They don't have none of that shit. Life is life.
That's called life without.
Yeah, so that's what they do in Florida. They know, so. Man, and so people, so you only have to show, like, if you see that don't convince you. Let me see, who young on here? Birdo, how old are you, Birdo? Birdo, what you doing, Mega Free?
I'm 40. I'm 40.
Oh, okay. You still, you damn near probably still younger than most of us. I'm just saying, like, did you have a fear of going to jail or prison when you was younger?
You know, it was weird. It's kind of hard to explain. I guess the fear wasn't there in going, but the fear was in getting in trouble with my parents, if that make any sense. Like, I feared them more than going to jail or going to prison.
Job. Yeah, see, now that's, yeah, I mean, I feared my father, but that didn't help.
Well,
he was so far away that he couldn't stop me. in the moment.
But he gave you a sense of understanding that you have a choice.
Yeah.
Now that he did.
He gave you a choice. He let you know you have a choice.
My bad. Was it Joe that was saying earlier about how he was on the yard and he ain't ever seen nobody that did a crime?
Yes, ma'am.
So that's a good example, Joe, of the trauma that black men have suffered being incarcerated so much. Now, let me ask you something. Did you commit those crimes because you wanted to, or did you commit those crimes because didn't have the resources you needed, you were trying to do something? Or did you just mindlessly say, fuck it, I'm a gangster, I'm just going to do all this stuff?
It was a way of life, kind of born into it. It was the household, single-parent household, alcoholic mother. My mother was an alcoholic, and she was very abusive. I sold to an undercover cop when I was 9 years of age, and they gave me 5 years for that at 9 years old. And the reason that happened is because I just got tired of the abuse that I was enduring at home. And I couldn't take it no more, so I just went on out there in the world, and the world met me, and I met the world, and God put his hands on me, but he took me through something, because I wasn't, the best child, I wasn't a perfect child. I had issues, too.
He was out in Pasadena, in Pasadena.
Born and raised in Pasadena, California. Okay. You go to middle school, you go to high school. The moment you touch them playgrounds right there, those playgrounds is the jungle as well, because now you're mixing with your peers of your class, your age, and within that there comes the test, especially if you're a man. There's the test of toughness. I didn't play sports, ever played no sports growing up. So there's always that test of toughness when you come across another male, alpha male, who's think he bad, or may come to school.
And you say, hey, you six? What's you 6'4"? 6'4"?
I'm 6'5". Yeah.
Hey, he's 6'5". He ain't play man sport. He's 6'5", 300 some pounds.
3'4".
Yeah, black like black like Biggie. Black like Biggie.
See, and what you said about your mother having an alcohol problem, that's what I'm talking about as far as in our community, us having resources so that if your mom would have had the resource, if somebody would have been able to reach out to her, if the proper things were in place, how it should be in our community as it is in other communities, and somebody would have reached out to her, your life could have went down a different way too. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm talking about. That's the root of the problem. The root of the problem isn't why you went and did it. I mean, the root of the problem isn't what you went and did. It's why you went and did what you did. It was lack of resources. You didn't have a place you felt you could go to for help. There wasn't in your community. You couldn't go talk to somebody and say, "Hey, look, can you do this?" Because everybody else was on the same type of tip. So that's where it starts. Us as a community being out here and making these resources available and using our money and all these rich black folks. Okay, let me tell you something. We own the music industry. We own football and we own basketball, and yet we still in the same present state we in. If we took 1% from every black sports player, and if we took 1% from every black media entertainer and every black actor, we could put everybody in a house. Everybody, we could buy our own land and put all our people in a house all across the country. Man. If we took 1% from every basketball player, actor, football player, we own shit. We have shit. Well, we ain't doing stuff with it because, people feel like, okay, well, this is just how it
is. This is the way our culture is.
It don't have to be like this. There's a lot of people there's a lot of black men and black women who raised single fathers and single mothers whose kids didn't go on that path. So what is it that they got, and what's different than the other family?
Well, one thing I can say for myself is, even though I did get in trouble again, but when I was sitting in that holding cell when I got caught shoplifting, and I got caught shoplifting when I was in middle school, across the street from my school at a 7-Eleven And I had $10 in my pocket, but coming from East Oakland, I thought I was slick. I thought, I took some Snicker bars, M&M's, something like
that. Sticky fingers.
Some jerky. You know what I mean? Some jerky. I could have just paid for the shit, but, you know. And then I was so game goofy, the dude said, empty your pockets, and I just emptied my pockets and shit, and he took me behind the counter, and they just waited for to find my mother, but they couldn't find her because she was out there in the streets flea flicking, you know what I mean? Then they took me to the county, put me in handcuffs, took me down to, I don't even know if it was kids watching when they arrested me, took me down to the county, they still couldn't find my mother, you know what I'm saying? And so they had to take me to Moweda, which is a youth authority. And shit, and they took me to the youth authority. Then they threw me in a holding cell for probably about 6 hours. Hella long. It was hella long. I was just looking out the glass window. Just a little young Omizi looking at the glass window. And I heard somebody. I heard a guard or somebody, and he said, "You know what? He wasn't talking to me. He was talking to somebody. He said, "Once you're in the system, you're always in the system." And then I was just like, oh, "Shit! I mean, it's over. I ain't never coming back here. You know what I mean?" And, you know, they still couldn't find my mom until later on, like probably later on at night, like 8 o'clock at night or something like that. And actually, my mom has a distinctive laugh. She has a distinctive laugh, and I heard it. I was about to play dominoes with this kid in the cell. We just happened to have some dominoes. I didn't even know I played dominoes and shit. And maybe I was playing goldfish or something. And I heard my mom laughing outside, and I said, shit, I'm getting up out of here. I was happy as hell. And I was happy as hell. I was like, I had just dressed out, you know, I had to put my little suit. I had my little jumpsuit on or whatever and shit like that. And, you know, I'm a little kid. I'm only sixth, seventh grade. You know, I'm a seventh grade. I'm a kid, a child and shit. But I was smart. I was dumb smart. Yeah, I was dumb smart. I didn't get in trouble again until my senior year. That's when I got, even though, you know, like as far as getting caught and shit like that, I realized that getting caught wasn't it. So I didn't get caught doing nothing until I was a senior. And that's when I got caught with the destruction of property and using a dangerous weapon and all that shit. And so I want people to know that when I came to Sacramento, I wasn't a felon because it was a misdemeanor. But I always wondered why I couldn't get a job I applied when I was right off Foreign Road. I applied at like KFC and McDonald's and all that, and they wouldn't hire me. And I was like, damn, why I can't find a job? This is crazy. Everybody getting a job. But I wasn't a felon, but if you looked at that and all you saw was at a young age, you saw shoplifting. If you're just looking at me from my paperwork, you're seeing a violent criminal. Like if you never talked to me and you just read that paper as it was, you'll see a shoplifter, you'll see destruction of property, you'll see using a dangerous weapon. Yeah, using a dangerous weapon. I'm pretty sure it was a felony because they knocked it off. They knocked it off after a certain amount of time because I had a shotgun, but it wasn't like a pump gauge shotgun. It was a fucking hunting rifle shotgun. You know what I mean? It only was two shots. But like I said, on paper, I'm looking like John Gotti in some damn body. You know what I mean? And I'm black, and I'm around a whole bunch of white folks. So I'm just telling you how I could have got washed just by, because all they do is look at your paperwork. They don't interview you. They don't talk to you and really get a chance to know who you are. They just go by your paperwork and say, oh, this dude is violent.
Yeah.
So that's my soliloquy on that part. Let me play this commercial real quick, and then we'll come right back, y'all. It's a real, real show.
Hello, this is the Treat Lady, creator of Mouthgasms. We are having an amazing sale on my website, mouthgasms.com. Use code BOOTY50 to save 50% off of our booty shorts, thongs, and cheekers. If you're looking for the treats, just tap into my Instagram and send me a message. From our syrups, squeezers, caramel, gummies, brookies, blondies, and more, a taste like no other. Artisanal edibles, true connoisseurs indulge in. With Mouthgasms, taste the luxury.
You want some booty shorts? If you want some booty shorts, because I wonder if this is...
I'm like, am I looking at this right?
I need me some booty shorts, of course. I'm a rocker. Oh, my God. Yes. I sound like a booty short type of girl, don't I?
Hey, the homegirl got them for you, man. If you need them booty shorts, and she make them bomb ass edibles. I got a bag of them, and they're show head knock you down, and they taste delicious. I just want y'all to know, Mouthgasms. She makes the best edibles and shit like that, man. These caramel pops and caramel lollipops and all this shit, man. It's real nutritious. She really good at that. And she got them booty shorts for y'all if you really need them booty shorts. You smell me?
And it's called Mouthgasm?
Mouthgasm's.
Nice name.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? Look, check this out.
Hello, this is the Treat Lady, creator of Mouthgasms. We are having an amazing sale on my website, mouthgasms.com. Use code BOOTY50 to save 50%. off of our booty shorts, thongs, and cheekers. If you're looking for the treats, just tap into my Instagram and send me a message. From our syrups, squeezers, caramels, gummies, brookies, blondies, and more, a taste like no other. Artisanal edibles, true connoisseurs indulge in. With Mouthgasms, taste the luxury.
She said it way better than I said. But if you just listen to everything she just named off, get your wife some booty shorts, man. Joe, you understand me? Her birthday coming up, right? And her birthday coming up in July.
And yeah, coming up in July, but you don't wear them things. No.
Said not today.
Man, we gonna get you. We gonna get. Hey, we go. Hey, I'm gonna tell. I'm gonna have her sit some. So I can.
Edibles, Joe.
All right, we gonna put a. Okay, when you come, when you come to Sac or when I come out there, I'm gonna make sure I bring some. I'm gonna bring you. I'm gonna have her put a care package for you together. We gonna bring it to Southern California if it ain't already out there. We gonna go ahead and bring it out there, man. You know,
send your information. I'll send her some squeeze dry. I have apple cider vinegar. I got the turmeric.
Oh, okay. We'll do the exchange program. Yeah, we're gonna do the exchange program.
Send me your information. I'll send her some Thursday. Send her a pack out Thursday. Sample pack.
I love it.
Okay, that's a done deal. Just so y'all know, I did a video shoot Thursday with my homie Big Grip. This song is a big record. The streams is getting up there real tough. We just shot the video. And today I had no clue, Birdo and GB, that we was going to talk about everything we talked about today. I knew that Tia was going to come on and we was going to talk about what she got going on at the Capitol. But at the end of the day, this is it's supposed to be the playoff edition. We talked about the basketball earlier, and it is what it is. But, the one thing about the Real Spiel Show and Talk Back Tuesday is it's really centered around people being able to call in and have these real conversations. And this song right here is called Shit. And it's featuring me on here, I want to play it for y'all. And tell everybody out there to go ahead and stream it and be on the lookout for the video. Big Grip featuring Big Ol' Meezy. Shit, it's the Real Spiel Show.
Yeah. There's going to be some things in your life that change your whole demonstration. But whatever you do, keep it 100 with yourself and with your team. You dig? One.
If I shed tears for a bitch, I'm on my own, just me and my shit. Money on my mind, got no time for your shit. Gotta stay on, you're trying to hit a lid. Can't get tricked off the street on the bricks. Be your man and do your own shit. Back against the wall, but I'm dealing with the shit.
I ride alone, yeah. On my hustle, and keep some extra muscle. In case niggas wanna touch, I'ma bust for to get a chance to blast first. I'ma cut throat.
America. Yes, you ain't learned from the last verse. Lyrical assassins, I always put in work. Yep. Niggas always asking how I get it out the dirt. I do this with a passion, and I know my work. The streets was a passage, I turned it to my purpose. Sometimes I feel blessed, other times I feel cursed. This ain't too many of my niggas carried in a hearse. And if I had the power, then time would be reversed. And we'd be back on the block with the time, make the money work. But that is just a dream, and to me, that's what hurts. So I'ma pour some liquor out, fuck my niggas in the earth. This some shit we all deal with since the day of birth. Names tatted on the flesh, faces sprayed on my shirt. I miss you. I done put my sweaty tears in this shit. Be damn if I shed tears for a bitch. I'm on my own, just me and my shit. Money on my mind, got no time for your shit. Gotta stay on, it's grinding here to live. Can't get tricked off the street on the bricks. Be on man and do your own shit. Back against the
big
wall,
old man.
But I'm dealing with the
sick
shit.
With it,
pain and anguish, man, it's off the chain. I'm going through some things that I could barely explain. But on the surface, it's all roses and sunny days. I'm feeling every emotion, about to go insane. 5150 is litty, shitty, and sorrow this way. And all they say is it's gonna be alright and you'll be okay. Fuck what they talking about, I wanna scream and shout. Like, do you understand the words that's coming out my mouth? It can make you get heartless, even damper your soul. So much negativity is really taking a toll. Gotta pick myself off the ground, refocus, gather my strength. G.O.D. is in charge, struggle can teach you some shit. Obstacles and hurdles, what a bumpy road. Stay focused on the task and watch the blessing unfold. Me and Big Grip gon' keep it going for a better way. Get up and go get it, each and every day.
How they put my sweaty tears in this shit. Be damn if I shed tears for a bitch. I'm on my own, just me and my stick. Money on my mind, got no time for your shit. Gotta stay on, it's grinding here to live. Can't get tricked off the street or on the bricks. Be on man and do your own shit. Back against the wall, but I'm dealing with the shit. How they put my sweaty tears in this shit. Be damn if I shed tears for a bitch. I'm on my own, just me and my stick. Money on my mind, got no time for your shit. Gotta stay on, it's grinding here to live. Can't get tricked off the street or on the bricks. Be on man and do your own shit.
Stuff humbles you sometimes. Shit do too. Whatever you do, keep it 100. Keep it true. You know.
Yo, what's good with it? It's the almighty EA Ski on the Real Spill Show with the homie, the big ol' Meezy.
I didn't know the tree lady herself was tuned in. She didn't want to say nothing. What's up, sis? How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
We were just talking about the booty shorts. The homie Joe said his wife got to have a pair of them.
You gotta get them. Got them in every he size.
What'd you say? You got them in every size?
Yeah, you can even get the thong with them if you want.
Ooh, me.
Since it's her birthday. Or we got the teaker if you want to be a little more discreet.
Ooh,
you got 2XL? My girl got a big-ass booty. You got to have 2XL.
Yeah, I do. I got 2XL and 3XL.
You know, I want to get 3XL because a little bit more needs to be covered. I mean, she can only wear them around the house, so it's fine. The 2 is cool, but... She can't wear them. It's only for me. I'm just like that. I'm sorry.
I got you.
It's only for me.
I got the 3XL.
What's your Instagram? What's your Instagram?
Here, we're going to need a 3 over here.
Oh,
you don't get all over the place because I'm long in my face.
They stretch. They stretch.
That's what I'm talking
hey,
about.
Hey, we're going to need a 3X over here, girl, because if it don't get all over the place, the show don't belong in my face.
Amen. That's exactly what podcast is all about. Is making everything delicious, no matter what it is.
That's right, delicious.
You know what? Put them one together. Put them one together. I'll tell you. Okay. 3X.
Okay. Yeah.
He does. He does the the sun-dried, you got to try it. He got the sun-dried, squeeze-dried vegetables.
Hit that sub button.
I love
button.
That. Cold press?
T-Mac TV on YouTube. Let's get this dub, though.
Yeah, I love stuff like that. I'm definitely into my turmeric and ginger shots and all that.
Oh, yeah, I have a whole pack of all five flavors. If you go to squeezedry.com,
okay.
Give me your information. I'll send you out a sample kit.
Mm-hmm.
Or anyone else that want one as well that's online. And also
I
have
just, I just fired it back up. I'm about to
hey, go get him with the thunder sticks.
Wait, who is that? Is my cousin? Is that T-Maz on there? Cousin T-Maz, that's you?
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. What's up with cousin?
Hey, my cousin Dr. Terry Maz Harris is on here, man. You know, we was just I don't know how long you've been tuned in, but we was having some heavy conversation about incarceration and the youth and all that type of shit, man. I know you got all kind of opinion on that.
Man, yeah, man, that's a conversation we could talk for hours on, but a conversation that definitely needs to be heard.
Amen.
So when you get a chance, you might want to just play this one back. Play this one back and. You know, it might be some good listening and shit like that. How you doing, cousin? How's the book going?
The book's doing pretty good. I just released my second book in Barnes & Noble. I got a black children's book out. It's called My First Teacher. It focuses on emotional intelligence and just kind of learning from our primary institutions of learning, which is our parents and our community. So that's out right now. And I got the first book, Legendary Run. That's out right now. They all doing pretty good, man. Just getting more support and building it organically day by day. You know what I mean?
I seen the video. That shit was clean. Shot that out in New York.
Yes, sir. Big shout out to the homie Gino Rock. He flew out to New York. We shot that the video to A Legendary Run, which is basically the theme song to the book. And it's out there on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and type in T-Mass TV. Hit that subscribe button. And, yeah, check that thing out. Share it and all that. And that's also a soundtrack out there, too. It's called A Legendary Run as well, and it's on all streaming networks. So I'm just trying to get my feet wet a little bit, get back in the game, man, you know. Music is my first love. I took time away from music to chase my doctorate degree. I completed that, and I'm in the field working. So I want to, you know, circle back and get back to my music, my first love.
Tell everybody where your is it called practice or what is it called? Practice, right?
Yeah, I got a private practice also. It's called Love Cloud Restore. We located at 711 Jefferson Street, right there downtown Fairfield, California. And we do life skills coaching, mental wellness coaching, as well as clinical services. We do educational coaching. We're doing publications there, and we also doing a little dibbling dabbling with the music too. So, you know, tap in with us. We at lovecloudrestore.com. And again, the address is 711 Jefferson Street, downtown Fairfield, right across the street from the courthouse.
Well, y'all tap in. Y'all make sure y'all tip in. Well, we had a wonderful show, a lot of good topics. Any other topics y'all want to talk, anybody want to speak on before we ride up out of here?
No, we just got to remember to like the beat tomorrow, baby.
Thank you for having me on.
I
appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
I loved all the conversations and all
King.
The information.
Absolutely. Go Sacramento Kings. Go Warriors, man. I know we got a bunch of
yes.
We got Laker fans on here. We got Warriors fans. We got Kings fans. You know. So, hey, congratulations
to
everybody.
Game, it's tomorrow. Is Fox out for game five for sure?
Nah, he coming for 99%.
Okay. It's gonna be a good one.
If he don't play, it's
gonna
be. If he don't play, it's gonna be 3-2, and then they're gonna be going back to the EA to close it out. So he gonna have to play. And
man,
everybody's gonna
mean,
ball
you
out.
Sounding like a Warriors fan right now, man.
I ain't sounding. You the one. You the one got it sparked out. You the one. You the first one. You the one. And then you know, And they kicked out my big bro, so that's the definition got me fucked up. You sound like no damn Warrior fan.
Joe Billionaire, man, appreciate you being on with us, bro. That was some good stuff you shared.
Oh, man.
And my homegirl Tia. So I go down Tia. And make sure if y'all in the Sacramento or you at the Capitol, go down there. At what time, Tia?
12 o'clock tomorrow, the press conference. Come a little early on the west side of the Capitol, Area 33, 12 noon. Come support. Try to come between, plan on being there 1:30 to about 11:30 to about 1 and get some info on what's going on and stuff and come support.
And there you have it. Hey, man, appreciate everybody for chiming in. And, you know what I'm saying, we'll be back next Tuesday with a very special guest. I ain't going to tell you right now. You're just going to have to figure it out, or you're just going to have to wait for the promo, man. Thank y'all for tuning in. It's the Real Spill Show. We're going to ride out like this.
Well, all right. Okay, now 3, 2, 1.
Well, right. Brand new
okay,
T-Mask.
Okay, now 1, 2, 3. Well, all right. Okay. Dangerous young kids with the stainless shooting at the young blood type like the game man. And got my grandmama crying about it, cause she know her little lying about it. Daddy trying to pull me about it, now that boy focus trying to move me a mountain. And my young life watching me, and the bring back out give me, and these rappers only kissing me. The motherfucker man is who I'm meant to be. Yo, it's crazy how they made us. I asked Marty how his date was. He said, Daddy, what's racist mean? And when these motherfuckers gon' pay us? Spent my last trying to hit it major, but they ain't understand like I had a major. 6 figgies, let's talk about it. Why I'm on my 9 to 5 like I talk about it. And I just changed to more angels. And I just changed to more angles. It was storming mystery in my city last year. I had to put on my rain. When I rhyme like this, can't shit stop us. Post up to the cell gun. T-Mass on point like a nail gun. Rest in peace to my mama's son. Put it on the rail, I am the one. Dog for the cooler till the curtains close. Them on seat notes, I'm on a search for those. My nephew wanna be a baller. My niece says she wanna be a lawyer. So what you niggas out there wanna be, huh? Focus on being loyal. A legendary rhyme.